inspiration, and motivation is just a podcast away at hrnradio.com.
Well, hello, everyone, and happy holidays to you. You are listening to Chad E. Cooper on Legendary Lifestyle. Speaking of happy holidays, the holidays are upon us, and it's time to give yourself the greatest gift of all, you. So check out the holiday special for a limited time on unmaskyourlegendarylife.com and get started for $1. Hopefully you've been generous in giving to those that are in need and not just buying gifts for those that are wanting gifts. But give to yourself. Invest in yourself. That's how we're going to get into an amazing 2021. And it begins with investing in yourself. And you can do it for a dollar. Speaking of that and looking at life differently, today's conversation is around asking the question, is it possible to live chaos-free in a shaken world? Well, I say yes, and that's really what Unmasking Your Legendary Life is all about. But more importantly, today's guest is author Alan Arnold, and I think that he agrees. We're going to find out in a minute. He says, if we follow God's wildly creative approach. So there's a caveat, folks. There's a condition, friends. And long before, I love Alan's introduction. He says, long before the unexpected global COVID pandemic and political unrest of 2020, publishing veteran and creativity coach Alan Arnold wrestled with his own five-letter C word, chaos. An orderly, problem-solving, high-achieving executive, he realized an unwanted turmoil, chaos, was negatively affecting his relationships, his creativity pursuits, and his heart. So he set on a quest to determine the root, not the symptoms, but the root and how to overcome and emerge stronger. Kind of like, what is it, the $6 million man? Emerge stronger. Okay, I digress. In his new book, Chaos, Overcome What Comes Against You in the Shaken World, Alan, by looking at why our typical responses to chaos fall short. But more importantly, how to focus on fear always leading us astray. So today we invite you, rather than be overwhelmed by the latest headline, instead he's inviting you, friends, to read on a journey that starts before time began. So from war in heaven and the empty void in Genesis 1-2, we're going to get to why that single verse is kind of like in between, like two different verses 1 and 3, and it seems out of place, to getting to the world's creation. So Alan's going to track the origin of chaos. Where did it start from? How God has continually countered it. And in the process, we're going to have some fun here because he exposes an ancient enemy whose activity uses chaos as the weapon of choice designed to take each of us out in uniquely personal ways. So with that, Alan, welcome to Legendary Lifestyles.
Thank you, Chad. It's great to be in this conversation with you today.
Well, let's have some fun, and that begins with, I really agreed with how, I don't remember if you said dictionary.com or Webster's or who the source of the definition of chaos was, but it kind of sucked. And so you've written a new book about chaos, and you have your own, I think, more appropriate and maybe more specific definition of chaos. So why do you think, one is, what is your definition? Why is it important to share that message of chaos can't? Let's start there.
Sure. Well, Chad, I agree with you. The original kind of dictionary definition that most of us see falls way short for what our 2020 has been. And I'm talking about yours, mine, everybody's. The dictionary definition is a state of utter confusion or disorder. And that's, it's a good start, but it's just a start. I mean, that definition could have described me all through high school math and science classes. Like, I was utterly confused and disordered as a student, and I still don't understand a lot about some of the higher concepts in those arenas. And so that's chaos on a low level. It's just, I'm confused. I don't understand what's going on. But the chaos we've all felt in 2020, I think everyone would agree, is a much higher grade, deeper, more severe chaos. And so the definition I offer in the book for chaos is this. Chaos is a destructive, fear-based force that prevents us from fully living. The ways it comes against us, large and small, are intensely personal strikes, and that's key, personal, meant to leave us empty and take us out. And that definition, I think, is a far more accurate picture of what most of us have felt in 2020, really, whether it's regarding the virus, the social unrest, the political situation, all of it, you know, job losses, health issues, financial issues. So I wanted a book that could address what's really going on, not just to diagnose it, but to offer a way to counter it, to actually live chaos-free in a world of chaos.
Yeah, and as you said in the beginning, you'd go to a party or you'd go out on some, you know, social gathering. People would ask, what are you working on? And you're like, chaos. And before the pandemic, they're like, okay, freak show, whatever. What are you talking about, chaos? Now, you know, it's like, while it's universal, it is intimately personal in its impact upon us. And you're saying, hey, by the way, while this is happening in the environment, you still have choice in how you want to address it or go through this journey. Is that fair?
That's totally fair. Yeah, I think it starts with, you know, some very simple things like awareness, situational awareness. Part one is we have to quit letting chaos catch us off guard. We have to quit waking up each day assuming somehow, against all reason, that the day is going to go easy and fine, and we're going to get through our to-do list, and everything's going to go how we want it. That's not the world we live in. And so it starts with just that situational awareness, which ties to Jesus' words in John 16:33. You know, he says, in this world you will have trouble. Not you may, not some days, not only in, you know, 1 6-month period, but in the world you'll have trouble. And then he kind of rocks, I think, my world and most people's by saying, and I'm telling you these things so you'll have peace. And you think, wait a minute, dude, you're telling me I'm going to have trouble so I'll have peace. That feels so counterintuitive. But the reason, still all in this one verse, is he says, take heart, I've overcome the world. And so that started me on this journey of, okay, however it is I'm going to overcome chaos, I can't let it catch me off guard. And I better start listening to the one who has overcome not just the chaos of our year, but everything in the world before creation, during creation, and up to now, and in the future, the one who's overcome chaos on all levels through all time, now I can start to take heart. Now I can be aware that there's chaos, but not let that thought create anxiety or fear, but actually be present, understand that it is coming, and then, as you said, we have a choice. The second step is most people forget, you don't have to let chaos in. Yes, chaos swirls around us, but a chaotic world and a chaotic day and a chaotic office doesn't mean that we have to become chaotic in the midst of it. There's ways not to do that.
Yeah, I almost feel like, Alan, I mean, you say in the book, chaos also comes at us in unique, almost customized ways. It's as if it knows us and infuses our hopes and dreams with fear in the places that we are most vulnerable. And it's almost as if COVID and this pandemic and the elections were like, fine, I have to turn the volume up to 11 to get your attention, friends. Because it's almost as if we've been asleep at the wheel going, what you think that this is unique? Well, this might be an elevated or a louder level, but chaos has been there. And one of my specialties and expertise is in time management. And we look at, and I think somewhere in there you may even talk about the difference between time being linear versus dynamic. But when we look at this, I can simply take a look at somebody's schedule and know immediately how much chaos is in their life. And one of the biggest areas that I can see immediately as I look at, well, where's your prayer and meditation time? Where's your time for, one, you setting the stage each day? I mean, you can't expect that you're going to go out and give an Oscar or a Tony Award-winning performance as you're building the stage. You have to do that daily. The second is, as I look for how much padding, how much flexibility do you have in your day? And so many people are just like cramming that stuff in that they have no ability to be flexible. They have no ability to adjust when the blueprint doesn't get executed the way that you have it by design. But I think that's really kind of the point, isn't it, Alan? Is it's not our blueprint, it's God's that actually overrides.
Yeah, absolutely. It's God's that overrides. A great point. And I think, you know, so many people think that they can just kind of deal with their own chaos, their own anxiety and fears, and shove those down, and then be a great leader, or be a great artist, or a great storyteller, or a great teacher or entrepreneur. But the thing is, you'll never lead anyone else into greater peace or greater clarity or a life of freedom that's greater than what you have. And so the reality is, if you want to be, you know, a leader, if you want to live a lifestyle that others are drawn to and that you impact and influence them, you're not going to be able to ever do that when your internal heart, your thoughts, your mind, the parts people can't see on the inside, if they're chaotic, you're always going to be limited and stunted in what you can do and the peace and freedom you can have. So that's really what this book is about, is how to overcome it first for yourself, but then so that it can ripple out into your family and into your business and into your community.
So, friends, if you're just tuning in to Legendary Lifestyles, we're speaking with guest Alan Arnold, and author of Chaos Can't, Overcome What Comes Against You in a Shaken World. And I want to jump into the beginning, Alan, in the shaken is really kind of touching on that last snow globe, where I don't know where you came up with that story or if you've borrowed it somewhere else, but it was an absolutely powerful, beautiful story that I've actually shared with others because it's such an impactful story. And from my perspective on that is this little girl, while, you know, everybody was focusing on one thing, she chose to focus on the truest thing. She chose to focus on, you know, I tell people, yeah, COVID's going on. I choose not to subscribe. They're like, what? I said, I just choose not to subscribe to the COVID pandemic. I said, that doesn't mean that I don't believe that it's real. I'm not saying it's fake news. And I'm not saying that I don't go around being protective, wearing a mask, washing my hands, being smart. But I choose not to tune into the chaos. I choose not to tune into the toxicity. I choose instead to say, yeah, while this is going on, there's also something that we can have gratitude for. There's also what's right going on as well. And that's really kind of the help explain the story of the last snow globe and how you kick off the message of giving us into Chaos Can't.
Sure. Well, the last snow globe, it's an original allegory. I created it. I wrote it and started the book with it because I felt like anybody picking up this book, even though I don't know every reader who will pick it up, I can pretty much guarantee they have come from a period of being overwhelmed and emotionally challenged with what's going on in the world, just trying to get through the day and make it through, you know, without imploding or without losing heart. And so I wanted to start my book, Chaos Can't, with an allegory. It's only 4 pages or so, but it's basically like a parable that Jesus would tell in the sense that it captures the issue. And I think the big issue is, In the allegory, this girl and her family lived on a very small island and they created snow globes. But what was happening was people on the island were becoming distracted by this message that they believed true, which was there's a beast on the island. And that beast on the island started to shut them down. So they would stay at home, turn the lights out at night, not go out, not live their normal life, live in fear, all because of this rumor of a beast on the island. And the allegory has a surprising twist at the end, but the basic message, I won't ruin that for our listeners, but the basic message is, rather than focus on the thing that causes us fear, we can choose to be astonished. We can choose to embrace the living water that God gives us and not be, you know, not let the chaos in and not shut us down. And so I think it's a very hopeful way to start the book, because we all know we have chaos. I don't need to begin the book saying, let's take a test to see if your life is chaotic. I guarantee you, your life, most people's lives, has chaos in it. The answer is how to overcome it. So that's what that allegory was about. And I do think, you know, like the pandemic, we need to take caution. We need to be smart. And there's a more deadly virus than the pandemic by far, because it affects 100% of the population, and that is fear. And so if we're super worried about the thing that can most take us out every day, 100% of the time, far more than any, you know, COVID virus, the 100% factor is with fear. And I see fear as a virus. It spreads, it's contagious, it lingers, and unless we proactively know how to overcome fear, we will live with that virus within us our whole life. And so part of the message in Chaos Can is, going into every decision we make, is fear-based or love-based. And I think another way to start overcoming chaos is to start just being aware of, yep, I respond to certain things out of fear in my life, and I just assume that's the normal thing everybody does. And actually, we're told in Scripture that we shouldn't fear, and that we can live free of anxiety and worry. And so part of the message is, quit focusing on the beast on the island, the fear in our world around us. Don't let it in. But instead, let's operate from a posture of decision-making and leadership from love. And when we do that, it changes not only the rhythm of our day, but how well we sleep at night, who we are for other people, how present we are, and how creative we ultimately are. Because fear does not create great art. It doesn't create great relationships. It doesn't create peace in our own life. So all of that is in the book as a way to say, if you want to be chaos-free, it doesn't just start with the external to-do list on your desk. It starts first in your heart. It starts first an inward journey, and then it flows out. And when you start there, you start to see changes, yes, in the to-do list, but first in your own heart.
Yeah, and that's why I say you need to set your stage daily. And sometimes, you know, multiple times a day if you're transitioning different roles throughout the day. But it starts with changing in deliberately choosing what you're going to focus on. So while there is real danger, what we have a responsibility to decipher is that fear or danger? Because the way that we first address that is, if it's fear, a false emotion appearing real, then we need to understand that largely what that attack in the way it's going to come after us is a false emotion appearing real. And so that means mental fortitude. That means we need to address what are we focusing on and what are the emotions that it is creating that is affecting the decisions and the actions we take. Alternatively, if it's real danger, and we're in our house, it's probably just fear-based. If we go out of our house, that level of real danger may increase. And if there's real danger, then we have to adjust our behavior very quickly. I don't care how much you want to have good wishes and believe positive thoughts. If there's a Mack truck coming at you and you don't move, you're in danger. That's not fear, friends. So you better right. change your behavior real quick. But yeah. That begins... That we have in that, Alan, is we don't choose to say that the goal daily is to turn our focus onto God. It's like only when the crap hits the fan, do we then go, oh, now I'm in danger? But we don't recognize it because it intentionally comes at us in small, hidden, subtle ways. So, friends, what are you focusing on? Where are you putting that focus? And what does mysticism have to do with this? Well, you probably heard of the hero's journey, probably have seen it in Star Wars, The Matrix, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, all of them. So are you a character in that? Well, guess what? We're going to take a quick commercial break here on Legendary Lifestyles and come back with where you play the protagonist. Stay tuned.
Timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
Uplifting talk. HealthyLife.net.
Hey, friends, we are back on Legendary Lifestyles. I am your host, Chad E. Cooper, and our guest today is Alan Arnold, Master of Calm and Presence. That's my term. I don't know if, Alan, you would attribute that. But
I like it.
Chaos, you like that. Good. So raising the bar of what peace and presence can be, because chaos can't. That's the title of his book, Chaos Can't, Overcome What Comes Against You in a Shaken World. Well, one of the things that comes against us, and there's a reason why the hero's journey, frankly, is like a blockbuster hit almost every single. I mean, if you look at anything, Steven Spielberg, who is George Lucas, J.K. Rowling, you know, Star Wars, The Matrix, Beauty and the Beast, Lord of the Rings. Friends, there's a reason why there's like 1, 2, 3, 23, Rocky, right? Because the protagonist starts off like innocent and just going through life, and then they're met with a challenge. Well, they resist that challenge. They're like, yeah, no, not me. I'm good. My life's okay. For Star Wars, it was Luke and his uncle and aunt being killed that he's thrown into chaos. And comes out the other side of that, and there's 12 steps to the hero's journey, but the thing that I find interesting is that, hey, I'll pass, Alan, I'm not going to subscribe to this, and it really doesn't care. It goes, well, you're coming along whether you like it or not. But I find that there's a difference between pain and suffering. And I have found in this, just as you were saying in the good book, that Jesus says you are going to experience pain, right? But
yeah.
Suffering, I feel, is an elective. And while I know that to achieve greatness, you're going to have the ingredient of pain, pain is not me. It's just part of the journey. And I choose not to suffer. So where does the hero's journey kind of follow or bring us and relate into real life with real people experiencing chaos?
Well, the hero's journey, I think, is a template that rings true because it's not just one that movies follow and great stories, but it rings true because it's how life really works. It's how God, I think, has designed our world and our stories to flow. And you can see this in biblical stories with Joseph and David and Noah and on. You see it in their stories as well as the movies you referenced. And for those that aren't familiar with the hero's journey, you can Google it after the show and you can see, you know, there's plenty of, like a circle that shows the different stages. It's like around the clock the hero kind of goes. But it always starts out with an invitation into the unknown. And the unknown is full of risk, and you never feel qualified, and it isn't even maybe something you're wanting to do or wishing would happen. But that hero's journey begins with a step into the unknown. And with that step, you realize, wow, I'm in over my head, but now the choice is either to keep moving forward or to be stuck in my story, to go back to the status quo that feels more comfortable, but that never brings life. The status quo is never what God invites us to just get stuck in. He's always inviting us into the new and stretching us and initiating us. So the hero's journey really shows that, and it's interesting because part of the hero's journey is that you have to have a sage. So in Star Wars, you know, you have Obi-Wan Kenobi, and you have Yoda, and Gandalf, and Lord of the Rings. And in every great story, a sage comes alongside the hero to help initiate and navigate that journey with the hero who has a little more experience. And so I write Chaos Can't really as a hero's journey where we are entering into discovering what is chaos. We don't want to be stuck in a life of chaos. So we have to dare to venture into the unknown with a sage, and that sage is God. And let's see God's interpretation of chaos, and let's see what it looks like to actually go into that full journey. And part of that journey is at the middle, at the 6 o'clock, if you're thinking of a clock, you know, halfway through it's death and rebirth. And so in every great story, every great movie, the hero faces some, whether it's not usually literal death, because the hero is going to finish the journey, but a mythic death to something. Something inside has to be given up. You have to die to something. You have to be reborn. And as you're reborn, you discover you have greater powers than you ever imagined, but only after you've humbled yourself and gotten to your end of yourself. And so that's part of this hero's journey is with chaos is you want to overcome chaos. That's great, but you have to be proactive. It's an intentional journey. It's not reactive where you just wake up and go, oh, man, this day stinks. It's going into the day with the strength, and it's ultimately, and here's the cool part, Chad, ultimately it's not just about not letting chaos in or not being surprised by it. Those are the initial steps, but the real cool part of our journey is when we start to say, rather than chaos change us, we're going to change chaos. We are going to now, with God, change the atmosphere around us from disorder and chaos into beauty, life, order, hope. And we do that through who we are and what we are gifted at. And so that's where the hero's journey is, I think, gets to the really cool part in the movie and in our own lives. If you're tired of chaos, great. There's a way not to let it in. There's a way for you not to be chaotic. But beyond that, there's a way for you to start creating more calm and peace and beauty in the world that actually pushes chaos back for others. And that's a heroic thing to do. And that's the full invitation of the book is don't let chaos in. You can be chaos-free. And now let's have some fun pushing the chaos back and reclaiming the world as God meant it to be.
So we are regularly invited into these new and unknown initiations. You use the word initiation. I think that's a very popular and modern word. More indigenous and maybe historical friends would be rite of passage, and you might see that in like Lord of the Rings kind of vocabulary. Same thing, right? But here's the thing. We often miss how these invitations are actually rites of passage. Why? Because we go, hey, Alan, I'm good, man. I'm comfortable. I'll pass. I don't want to leave the air conditioning, right? But here's the thing, friends. If you don't step into that initiation, that rite of passage, chaos will be brought to you. That's where the suffering comes from, is when you try to avoid crossing through to the other side, to victory. And the thing that I see so often, I want to talk about this because we're probably going to take a commercial break here in a minute, but the thing I see so often is you mentioned a really key point in there, Alan, and that is you need the wise sage. You need the guide. And so often in today's world, I see people doing religion, doing spirituality, and not being spiritual. And friends, there's a huge difference between doing and being. You can go through the motions and completely be empty inside. But when we go through these initiations, it is about making sure that that guru, that teacher, that wise sage, so many people I've heard, Alan, are disappointed because they find out, well, this person was human. This person, you know, let me down. Yeah. Because they're human,
right,
as I am, and we all come up short. And so we need to understand where to put that real focus on, and that is God is, you know, God wants us to search for Him, the hero in this, is when you choose to have the right guide. And so we want to understand, you know, where all of these false prophets or false teachers are. And no, they might be wise, they might have something to teach, but they are going to fall short. So just understand, because they're human. So we have to think bigger than that if we want to make it through the hero's journey. And you're being called into one right now. So what is chaos? Where does it come from? How did it start? We're going to take a quick break, and we're actually going to give you the source. Where is the origin of chaos, and where did it begin? We'll be right back here on Legendary Lifestyles.
Like what you hear? Tell your friends. Thanks for listening to HRNradio.com.
Friends, welcome back to Legendary Lifestyles. Our guest, Alan, is author. Alan Arnold is author of Chaos Can't. And we're talking to Alan. I kind of teased a little bit about, okay, so what's the origin? Where does chaos come from? Is this the beginning of time? And you point to a very specific verse in between, kind of sandwiched in between two other verses. It's like, is this in the right place? Because it seems to be out of place. So talk to us a little bit about Genesis 1-2.
Absolutely. So it is important, if you want to overcome chaos, to go, well, I need to understand it. I need to not spend too much time just dwelling in it, but I need to understand where it came from if I want to come out of it and have a cure for it. And so it's always good to start at the beginning. And Genesis 1-1, we're familiar with that verse, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, what God's saying there is, I am creator. It's his introduction to us. I am creator. He could have introduced himself any number of ways. As a dictator, as a boss, as an impersonal force. But he says, I'm a creator. And then Genesis 1-3, he starts the creation process. But Chad, what's super, to me, intriguing and often missed by people is Genesis 1-2, this verse that kind of seems wedged in, but it's actually, I think, the secret to everything when it comes to chaos. Because Genesis 1-2 talks about how God's Spirit hovers over the empty and void. And it uses a word, some translations say hover, some use the word brooding, but it's a reference to almost a mother bird, a hen, an eagle, spreading their wings out over a nest. It's a nurturing word. And so in Genesis 1-2, God's Spirit goes into the chaos, the empty void, the murky darkness, this churning emptiness. And so we're getting our first lesson from God here. God introduces himself. I'm creator. Now let me show you your first lesson in all of Scripture. And so you've got to go, that's pretty important. The very first lesson somebody teaches has to be of high importance. And this lesson is how to overcome chaos. The Spirit of God goes into chaos. And what does he do? Does he get chaotic himself? No. Does God shut down and just say, you know what, forget it, I'll come back later when there's less chaos? No, he doesn't do that. What he does is he enters into chaos and he starts creating. He starts creating in the empty void places out of who he is, in the trueness of who he is, and what he's doing. He brings beauty and life and order. So in this empty void, in this murky darkness, what we see is God step into it and say, watch this. I'm not leaving things empty and void. And what he creates is oceans and sun and stallions and wildflowers and trees and all kind of immense life-giving things. He creates man and woman. And so out of chaos, the greatest creativity comes through God, and it's an antidote. It's basically saying, no, chaos, you can't stay here. You can't win. And then the cool thing about that is we see the days of creation. However you define the days of creation happen. And it's beauty and it's life and it's full of hope. And so what I'm trying to show people through that is it's not just a story. It's an invitation. God is saying, as I am creator, and I step into chaos and change it, defy it, reshape it, make beauty, life, and order, now you as my sons and daughters can co-create with me in your life right now, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, whether you are a CEO, whether you only feel creative in your hobby in your spare time, however you define your gifting and creativity or your presence among those you love, you can change the atmosphere to beauty, life, and order. All the empty void places we find in the world is full of empty void places. So that's the invitation of Genesis 1-2, and it's the very first thing God shows us. So if you wonder, is this really important? We'll go, well, it's the very first thing that God shows us, and he shows us how to do it through our creativity and gifting and passions and dreams, not through gritting our teeth and just going, well, I'm going to punch the clock today and kind of get through the day. No, actually, we're invited into the adventure of changing the world around us.
So you redefined, or more appropriately defined, chaos, but you also did the same and developed a new definition of creativity. So as we're talking about the way forward is not through more chaos or focusing on chaos, but instead to redirect our focus, and that is towards creativity. So why did you develop a new definition for creativity, and why do you believe creativity is one of the most powerful antidotes to chaos?
Well, I developed a new definition because, again, I thought so many people just say, I'm not creative, and they kind of walk away from what's one of their greatest gifts. We are all creative. You may not feel like it. You may not think you are, but that doesn't change the reality that you are. And you are because God is your creator. And so if he breathes life into us, how can we not have creativity in our DNA when our Father, God, is creator? And so I wanted a definition that was broader than just something that felt limited to the few or the elite. And the definition is, God-infused creativity uses our presence, who we are, and our gifting, what we do, to bring something new into existence in a way that changes people and the atmosphere for good. So, again, it's God-infused. It's something he's given us from before we were born. He knits it into us, not just by what we do, but by who we are. We change the environment when we walk into a Walmart. We can change the environment when we have a conversation with our neighbor. We can have an immense impact on the atmosphere for good with our toddler at home, even though nobody else sees us, and we're in our, you know, sweatpants, and it feels totally not glamorous and totally not something that Oprah's going to interview us for, but we're changing the atmosphere for that child and in that home. And so that's a broader, truer definition, I think, of creativity. And Chad, I would close that comment on this. So many in the world are trying to change the world right now through chaos. And that's never how God changed the world. God did not change the world through chaos. He changed the world through creative, life-giving, hope-driven, love-based ways. So when we see people around us trying to change the world through fear and intimidation and chaos, I'm telling you, it is not going to work. And it's not the way God chooses to change the things that are disorder into order. And so if we want to be an agent of change for good instead of an agent of chaos, then we have to follow the way that God has shown us to do it. That's the way he's shown us to do it, through love and life.
Exactly. So here's the thing, friends. You've heard me say this before. Anger doesn't dissolve anger. Love dissolves anger. So chaos is not going to dissolve chaos. We have to redirect that force, or that focus. Sorry. And we're going to come right back, but think about this. You remember the old phrase, only you can prevent forest fires. Well, that's saying that it only takes a spark to set off a forest fire. That's where chaos begins. So let's get creative. Stay right tuned here on Legendary Lifestyles, and let's figure out how you access your creativity. We'll be right back.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Hey, friends, you know, I know when we're having a great show because the time just seems to fly, and I have more questions than I have the time to get answers. So if you want some answers, you want to get more clear on the definition, to understanding this enemy and then how to overcome it, Alan, where should they go to pick up your book or get more information?
The best place to find the book is Amazon. Super easy, and if you have Prime, which pretty much the whole world does, you can have the book in 2 days or less. It's an e-book and a print book, and just look it up under Chaos Cant. And if you want to find out a little more about my just desire to help people usher them into their dreams and kind of provide a roadmap for how to do that with God, my website is withallen.com, withallen.com, and there's videos, there's podcasts, there's blog posts, all of it's free, and it's a great way to kind of go deeper into the topics we're talking about today.
Awesome. I appreciate that. So let's wrap up today with, we were talking about in your book, it reminded me of Smokey the Bear, you know, only you can prevent forest fires. But there's a lot of truth to that is your mouth sometimes sets off chaos because you don't think about the sparks that it sets off, both either for yourself internally, that internal mental warfare, or externally, the way that you react or respond to others. And you say it only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, and send the whole world up in smoke and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. And that's actually from James 3, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And so why don't we show people the alternative? What are some activities, what are some exercises, Alan, that we can do to start focusing on that creativity, focusing on the alternative chaos, and that is gratitude and life? Where are some things that we can go with that? You've got the empty auditorium, you've got several things. Where do you want to go?
Yeah, well, let's start with the empty auditorium, and that is a super quick way for anybody listening who's saying, yeah, I hear you and Chad talking about creativity and God is creator and creativity is an antidote to chaos, but I just never have felt creative. Well, there's an exercise in the book that's called the empty auditorium exercise or experiment, and here's a way to find your creativity. It's just a really quick thing. Imagine you're in a room designed for an audience. It may seat 10, it may seat 10,000. Well, how big is the room? You get to decide. And it's something that you get to invite God into this with you. So ask God, God, come into this with me and help reveal what's been hidden or maybe stolen from my life and help me in this exercise to see what's true about me. And a good way to do that, Chad, I always say is just the phrase, let there be light. God, let there be light. You reveal something about me that I don't even know. And the first question about this empty auditorium is, who would you fill it with? Who would you want to be there? Young people, old families, people who are struggling in life, successful people. Another way to ask this is, who are the ones hungry for what you were born to offer? And the only invalid answer is, well, just anyone. I'd fill it with anyone, because that's kind of a non-answer. So what you're looking for is, what would make you most come alive in that room to be able to share with people to do? Is it to cook a meal? Is it to paint? Is it to design the atmosphere of the room through the furniture and the setting and the lighting? Is it to teach? Is it to tell a story? You get to decide. But when you start thinking about that, what would I do in that setting? And you may say, well, I'm an introvert. I wouldn't want to be in front of people. Okay. Well, imagine you get to create something, and then people in that room get to experience it. You don't have to necessarily be on the stage. But what is that? What would you build or say or teach or sing? And when you start there, you start going, okay, this would bring me life. I would love this. I would love if people could experience this. And I've always loved this gift in me as a child. I just set it aside. I gave up on it, or I got intimidated, or I felt like it wasn't important. Nobody cared. And God is giving you that gift because it has immense value. And so that's an exercise, a simple one, to just start going, what makes me come alive and for who is it meant for? And Chad, the last thing I would say is, when it comes to our gifting, we are the only ones that tend to underestimate it. God doesn't. God gave us that gifting before we were born. He knit those desires and dreams into us. And the enemy doesn't underestimate it. He knows the power that our creativity could have against chaos. And he tries to take us out at the knees before we can ever do it. And so we're the only ones that underestimate it. And when we sit there and go, you know, I do love to play the guitar, or I do love to tell stories, or would like to start my own podcast, or I would like to start a daycare center, and we go, but I'm going to wait until it's less chaotic in the world. We're actually playing to the enemy's hand, because the antidote to chaos is to step in and bring life and beauty and hope through what we're gifted at, what we love to do. And if we wait on the sidelines until there's less chaos, we'll never start it, we'll never get there, and chaos will take over that empty void place that we could have taken over with beauty and life and what we love to do.
So, friends, I'm going to date myself here, and Alan, you may know this song, but if you've never listened to the song Anyway by Martina McBride, go listen to it. You probably already got it free on one of your gazillion different music platforms. But there's never an ideal time. And as Alan is saying, I have a very, very large family, like 6 brothers, 4 sisters, multiple parents from, you know, a blessing, not you're a product of divorced parents. No, I'm blessed because it's given me a perspective that I remember at a young age. I had 2 brothers that are very talented in arts, in graphic artists. I struggled doing a stick figure, Alan, and I used to think for a long time I'm not creative. I'm not gifted that way. I'm not artistic. And then I realized when I got quiet, when I got still with God, God helped me understand what my innate gifts are and how those are different than my learned talents. And God is inviting you, I believe, to listen and discover what your innate gifts are, have the courage, have the audacity to pursue them and not go, well, I don't have the finances right now, it's really hard, you know, the revenue's down for the year, or, well, we can't get out because of the environment, or I don't have the time. There's a million why you can't. Find a reason why you can and keep that chaos at bay and instead create. Allow that innate gift to be leaps and bounds out of you to share that with the world. And when you do that, you'll realize that chaos doesn't stand a chance. So if you want to know how, go check out Alan's book, Chaos Can't. Go to his website. What is it with Alan?
WithAlan.com, yes.
With Alan. Friend. And when you do that, listen to Martina McBride's song, Anyway. You may build and it may get destroyed, go do it anyway. Because that is the invitation waiting you. That is the rite of passage, and that is where fulfillment comes from. And if you choose to run away from it, that's where chaos is invited in. That's that spark that can set off a forest fire. So friends, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa. They're all right now. So whatever yours is, may you have a happy holidays. Alan, thank you for being a guest. And friends, enjoy, be safe, and let's make 2021 amazing. See you in January. Thanks for being on Legendary Lifestyles.